we're gonna take another look at man's history with God. So, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I think. Let's start in chapter 3, verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. And again, remember, I don't think there's an exception. Every time it says the, with an article before wicked, it's the wicked one. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked one, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them, and they might see that they themselves are beasts, animals. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and shall return to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Then this is the next two verses, or three verses, are really important. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work, excuse me, that is done under the sun. And again I considered all the travail, or all travail at every right work, that for this man is an envy of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both pans full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, there is not another, not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor? And bereave my soul of good. This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Now obviously, in verse 8, he's talking about Christ. There's one alone and not another. And yet he goes on to say that this is also vanity. Now this is a mind-bending thing to say. Except when you see that Christ failed. In his effort to save the human race, it didn't work. Anybody understand that or believe it? Read it again. There is one alone. There is not another. There is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Unless you can apply that scripture to someone else, it's and I tried the sucking of Christ. It didn't do man any good. That's why the human race died at the cross. Anybody believe that? The love of 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge, that if one died for all, then are all dead. Discussion any?
Maybe that's how he saved the human race.
He didn't save the human race, that's the point. No, he didn't say it.
Because in that death, then there was a resurrection.
Didn't do the human race any good. We died on the cross. This is kind of controversial, I would say. Okay, we know a lot about this test. Let's start from the beginning. God created Adam and Eve, and they were innocent. They were naked and unashamed. Then God, in order for the test to, for that test of transferring, or conforming, or if you will, turning innocence into holiness, there had to be antagonism. That's how the mystery works. And what happened? When the moment that God told Adam to name the names, then they had the potential. Adam and Eve at that point had the potential to continue on in innocence, but instead they believed the lie that they shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's not good, because that deprives you of innocence. And so that's what happened. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they lost their innocence. Everybody understand that? Let's go to Genesis 3 and look. Well, let's go to, first of all, let's go to Genesis 1, or Genesis 2. It's Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the dominion of the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, and made male and female. And God blessed them, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So that was a pretty big deal. Remember the word he made after his own image? Doesn't mean we look like God. The word image is the same word that a glove is the image of a hand.
Yeah, selim.
T-S-E-L-M. And it means that we were created to contain deity. And that's the bottom line. Now let's go to Genesis 3. No, I know. Go to Genesis 2. And verse 16. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And then he said, the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, so then there's an intervening thing that happens. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet. Now, he said he's going to make him a helpmeet. In verse 18, verse 19, he's talking, then you name. And so in 20, Adam gave names. And once he gave names, then he had the potential to fall. Because once you name something, then you're separate from it. Now this is a big deal in order to understand the mystery of God here. You understand? Once you name the name, then they are separate from you. In innocence, you just feel like you're a part of everything.
Versus individualism?
That's a different subject. But here, they didn't have the potential to fall until he named the names. And that's the critical thing to understand. Gary, your music.
So it helps us perceive separation.
It makes it possible to see separation. Because once you name it, then you're separate from it. It's the other. You agree with that? You're one with everything. That's the state of innocence. That's what we see in every child that has been born since then. They're innocent till about 18 months to 2 years, something like that. Then all of a sudden there's awareness of self. And the moment there's awareness of self and the separation, then there's the conning. The child, it knows that the separateness, if they cry, they get something. And once that separateness takes place, then the potential for evil is within them. And we've seen it. That's why they're called the terrible twos. Now, God has shown us that in every child that has been born since the fall. So we all have an opportunity to see what innocence looks like.
I mean, it's so attractive in a little kid, little baby.
They're born crying.
I know. The crying is not, the crying isn't the issue.
That's what
if they're mean. If they're hungry, they cry. If they have a dump in their pants, they cry. But fundamentally, they just be. But once there's an awareness of self, then there's the trying to be and the finding out that they can con their parents. Of course, maybe none of you know about that, but because all of your kids were just perfect.
And my grandkids.
No, I want you to first of all see that the He created man innocent, and innocence was to be transformed into holiness by a series of tests. The same way that God use the evil one to test Christ to see if anything would take him away from his abandonment of self. So this is what the attempt was at the beginning. Because the beginning, everything has been from the beginning. That's why it's a male and female. That it's about the whole purpose of time and space is about creating a bride. So we know what happened then. Let's go through these. Let's continue. We're in now in verse 21, chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. And closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which God, the Lord God, had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto Adam. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." That's the purity. That's where they had the capacity, or innocence, I should say. That's where they had the capacity to transform the innocence into holiness. God doesn't want innocence. He wants holiness. And holiness is tested innocence. Again, that's why it says in Matthew 18, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. The same thing, the little child is the innocent. So you have to return to innocency somehow.
So he does want innocence.
But it's transformed and he wants holiness. But it can't happen unless there's innocence. He wants a bride. Now, back where it said he's created man in his image, that's the meaning of a glove of the hand. But he said his image and likeness. Likeness is a word, I can't remember what it is, but it means of the same nature. So he prophesied very at the very beginning of this mystery of Christ and the purpose of us as vessels. He would transform that innocence into holiness. And that's what the whole book of Genesis really is about. And what happened after that. But you won't understand this. I mean, you won't understand what the real purpose of Christ is unless you can understand this. Otherwise, you'll turn Christ into something that will benefit you. Can you understand that a little bit? Are you agreeing or disagreeing or not thinking about it?
Well, you talk about you, and that's the saved you or the dead you. It has to be the you that's been regenerated.
There's no you in the picture any longer.
But you mentioned you quite a bit.
Because that's the only way we can describe it.
Describe what?
The you. What happens to the you?
But a new you. There's a new creation.
There's a potential for the new you.
No, there's a new creation.
No, there's a new potential for the new you. That's why, except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God.
Okay, converted from one thing to another. That's a new thing.
Right.
Okay.
But that isn't the end.
No, that's not the end. But that new thing is...
It's no longer Gary.
I know.
Okay.
It's a new thing. I said that.
Okay.
Now that new thing is being tested and tried in a way it wasn't before, and everything that happens now, what might have happened before, is perceived in a new way because it's a new creation.
But it's the flesh is never again to be tested. No, it's not been, it's the potential for it has been dealt with. But in each vessel, the innocence must be transformed into holiness. But it has nothing to do with the flesh. It's the same temptation or the same test that Christ had. He called his disciples, "You are they that have continued with me in my temptation." There's no longer a temptation or test for you. You failed. All of us failed. Now is the temptation to pull away from cell phones. All right, but let's see what happened here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made, and he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Nowhere did God say you can't touch it, or you shouldn't touch it. So the evil one tricked her. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. Unless you believe in talking snakes or snakes that eat dust, that serpent was the evil one. And then what happened? And the serpent said unto the woman, in verse 4, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the desire to be as God was the temptation for the fall. You understand that? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam said, and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? And somehow we have to lose the capacity for shame. And the only one that has taken care of shame is Christ. Now you are no longer Jeff or Lisa or Gary or Ole or any of us. You are a vessel that has its purpose to contain that which to whom the promise is due. And he is tested in you in the same way he was tested after the test of the evil one for Christ. And you will either continue with him in his temptation or in his testing, or you will fall and return to dust. It does you no good. Christ in you does you no good unless you are in Christ. And the only way you're in Christ is to have denounced everything else. That's the way you live. That's the way you think. So we'll stop here where Adam and Eve ate and knew they were naked. We'll go on to the next step tomorrow, if the Lord wills. But just in terms of where we are in the history of man, does everybody see that because of the fall, they knew they were naked? And that eternal question, it's the same as coming back to you. Who told you you were naked? Who told you you should be different than you are? Who told you you should be in another place? Who told you on and on and on? Until the church returns to that state of innocency, we're going to still live in this terrible state of apostasy, the worst apostasy the world has ever seen. And that's where we are now in terms of what's taught in the name of God. Can everybody accept everything up to the point where we just studied?
Not really.
What can't you accept?
Well, one thing that we live our lives denouncing everything else, and that's...
Well, I'm not talking about what I said there. I'm talking about the scriptures we looked at. Just looking at the history. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They hid themselves from God because they were naked.
Yeah.
So... that's the only place. Let's just get that place.
Yeah, I can go there.
And all of us can agree on that place.
Yes.
And that's the opposite then of what God wanted. Was an awareness. He didn't want you aware of self. They became aware of self because he named the names, but they still could have. We don't know how many tests they passed before that, if they did any. But we know the one they failed. And that failure altered the universe. And it altered everything that has existed since then. And especially, it altered your capacity to see. You must return to this innocence somehow, some way.
There's a question here that since Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, there was no surprise on God's part that man did what he did.
Of course. He saw the end of the movie.
Yeah, it was anticipated.
Sure, I know.
Therefore, perhaps absolutely necessary for the completion of what he intended.
No. At every chance. He gave, we'll see this through all these, what we're going to study the next few days. Man had the capacity to still be saved at every juncture that we're going to go through. But once that man, Adam and Eve, or those two fell, then there was no potential anymore. Now we're going to see what happens next. You buy that? You understand that? Every stage, even after the Christ risen from the dead, it was still he yet gave man one more chance. But we're going to go through each of these tests, so that I hope and I pray that it will be cemented in you that your flesh. No part of you, of your flesh, is to be tested. It's failed. But the perfection of the bride is taking place. But if you as the vessel are still giving breath to the vessel, then you've left being of value to God. Little bit. Now, I'm not asking you to agree to my commentary about it. I'm only asking you to agree what I said, that we're up to the point where after the fall they knew they were naked.
Yeah.
All right, John, is that okay with you? Do you understand? I know that went a long time ago when we first studied who told you you were naked, that was had made the biggest effect on you that anything had for a while. Is that still true?
Yeah.
All right. Continue to mañana. Take a big guy.